Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Song Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Hope everyone is still staying safe out there. Real fast, if you're looking for some live wrestling, tonight you have WCWO at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, FSW in Las Vegas, Nevada, IWA in Connersville, Indiana, Mission Pro Wrestling in Buda, Texas, FGW in Hamilton, Ohio, JCW in Millville, New Jersey, and PPW happening in Sellersburg, Indiana. Tomorrow night, Supreme Wrestling in Madison, Indiana, RWC in Lumberton, North Carolina, All-Star Wrestling in Gilbert, West Virginia, IWA will be back in Jeffersonville, Indiana, War in Lima, Ohio, NWP in Terre Haute, Indiana, NSPW in Haintsville, Alabama, and the School of Morton tomorrow night has a show in Chucky, Tennessee. But without further ado, I am very excited to bring back to the show someone that we have not had on in a very, very long time. I'm thrilled he's here. Darren Corbin, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it has been a while, so I'm glad that this all worked out.
I am too. I know you are a busy man, but we have finally brought you back, and in anticipation of today, we have had a few listeners send in some questions, so I want to get those asked right away. The first person wanted to ask what the deal was with POW when you were homeless for a while.
Oh, Paragon? PPW?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so this has actually been something that's been kind of fun for me because I had a great time at Paragon, and I'm actually doing a series on my Patreon about my experience, my fun story arc that I did at Paragon, and it's basically the transition point in a big story. And what it was is when I was at Paragon, I was the first ever American champion, and I was kind of thinking of trying to do something different, and we were filming some interviews backstage and whatever. And I just started jokingly, like, threw it out there, like, what if I was having a conversation, like, with, like, what if I was talking to somebody that didn't exist, I think, or something like that. I was like, what if I'm talking, because I want to say, like, my pitch was I was talking to the mirror, talking to myself. But Matt Stryker, who was one of the backstage, like, kind of the agents that was there, goes, what if you were talking to the championship? And we made it kind of like a weird inanimate object, I guess, like Al Snow and Head type deal, where, but I eventually started to like fall in love with the championship. And what happened was, is I lost the championship to Gangrel. And as a result, I lost everything. Like I lost my confidence. I lost my love, my championship. And then I became homeless. And we were looking at like a new transition, I guess, is kind of how you want to look at it. And it's some of the most fun stuff I've ever done. Paragon is some of the most fun wrestling antics I've ever done. And doing that, the homeless character gave me a different, like, kind of a different element. And it kind of almost made me like a sympathetic character, which was kind of funny. But I really enjoyed it, and, like, I kind of was one of those ones where I think a lot of people in wrestling try and be very serious or just want to be a wrestler or like a serious wrestler. And I'm the guy who always wants to try and see if I can get ridiculous stuff over. And that was just a chapter in that. And I did some really fun promo, real fun backstage stuff. You know, again, like it was kind of funny, like wrestling and non-wrestling gear, but it was great. And it ended up kind of, like I said, making a transition almost from being just kind of a jerk to actually being like sympathetic in that company. So it was one of my favorite stories that I've ever done in wrestling, but that was Homeless Darren Corbin.
All right. And we also have another question from a listener, and he wants to know, how many hours did you put into spin class?
Spin class?
That's what it says.
Well, interesting. I mean, maybe, I guess I'm a little baffled. I wasn't expecting to get sidelined here on the spin class, huh? I mean, do I look spin cycling style, or are we talking like ghost making pottery spin class? Because one, I mean, I haven't really done either, so I guess the answer would be the same for both. But yeah, I don't, I guess the answer is zero.
All right.
I mean,
that's reasonable. Well, one of the things that you have done since the last time you were here, and of course it's been a while, but I saw you pop up on my television set as an EMT giving first aid during an episode of WWE programming. What was it like getting the chance to perform first aid as an EMT?
Well, so I, you know, to prepare for, you know, you always got to be ready for whatever wrestling throws at you. So to get prepared, you know, obviously started taking my night classes at Arizona State University to make sure I could get certified in time. But it was actually very interesting because, yeah, I was an EMT back-to-back both nights, helping Kurt Angle at the TLC pay-per-view. And then I came out to help Jason Jordan after he got hit by Elias. But it was really funny, like, again, like being an EMT, being a medic, is my second time, I think, appearing on TV. And, you know, like, my goal is here's the challenge with what you do. So the guy like Kurt, you know, he has a history of neck injury, and it was a pretty wild TLC match, so you want to make sure that you're keeping him safe, which ultimately, as you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, we did, because he ended up rejoining the match at the end. So we ended up doing pretty good. But yeah, I just, you know, we were trying to keep him safe, trying to make sure that he had feeling and, you know, like there was no numbness or anything. And we just took it slow, which is fine for me because that gave me a lot of TV time, which was good on pay-per-view. So that was great. And then the next night was a little faster, but honestly, I was very surprised. I guess I'm not specialized in bruises as much as I thought I was, but I was very, very surprised by the size of the welt that was left on Jason Jordan when he got nailed with the guitar. I mean, like, his whole, like, bicep was, like, swollen after that. So pretty much my biggest thing was making sure that the swelling went down and that I didn't touch it. So that was my biggest thing. So I think I did pretty good. I mean, like, they had me back a couple times after that, but they didn't need my medical expertise at any point during me being out there. So, yeah, that was kind of the extent of it, you know, just making sure that everyone stays safe. You do your job, and you do your job well, and you know, in this business, you never know what injuries might occur.
That's extremely true, speaking from firsthand experience, and hopefully Jason Jordan eventually will come back from his injury that has sidelined him for a couple of years now. Now, very recently on this very program, we had someone on that you are very familiar with from years past, that being Mr. Incredible. He had some kind things to say about you and the quality of the matches you had together. Do you have any remembrances of working with Mr. Incredible?
Absolutely. So my deal is, and it's good. I always, this is one thing that I've always enjoyed about wrestling when I watch. There are certain times where there's just feuds where no matter what, you always feel like the guys are linked. They're always in a feud. And that is the best way that I can describe Mr. Incredible and I in North Dakota. The one thing that stayed consistent, in North Dakota, there was so many different variations of that company. It started basically, actually way back when, there was a company called X-Jam out there. That's the first time I ever wrestled in North Dakota when I was, I think, 20 years old. But there was a company that started called Northern Outlaw. Eventually that changed management hands, went to Fully Loaded. So that went to Fully Loaded Wrestling. And no matter what, I think it's Cloud9 now is what's out there. But no matter what the management or the change or whatever it was, Mr. Incredible and I were always linked. Because eventually, like what happened is, and this is where I'll give kudos to him ultimately on a lot of it, is in North Dakota, there's not a lot, as you can imagine. There's not a lot of, training in general. There's not a lot of consistency with wrestling, because that was pretty much the only thing out there. And the fans really only knew of, most of the time when I was out there, WWE and Northern Outlaw. That was only wrestling that they were getting. I know there is another promotion out there, and there's also one that runs Time Bomb, but they're on the border, who I've wrestled for. But when I did these shows for Northern Outlaw and Fully Loaded back when, Mr. Incredible was in a tag team with this guy. It was great. Like, it's almost humorously great. He was just so scatterbrained. Not incredible. His poor tag partner. Poor Incredible for having to team up with him. But, I mean, I watched this dude. Like, it was just kind of painful at times watching the guy in the ring. And Incredible was stuck in this partnership with him. And then eventually, he was the one who he had the ambition to break free. So he started traveling to Canada more, started to get out. And the one thing about Incredible is he's one of the strongest dudes I've ever been in the ring with. One of the strongest dudes I've ever been in the ring with. And we also used to just, like, really it was just – our matches were always pretty stiff and snug. And I think the main thing is I think he just gets so into it. And I just match however somebody's going to hit me. And we've done everything, like we did a last man standing match out there. We did a huge hardcore match, grudge match, blow off that I was actually really proud of, really enjoyed. We've had a couple title match victories. And the hard thing is, he'll probably laugh at this if he hears this, but, every time he had a championship reign, I felt like it either got cut off at the knees because he was always feuding with, like, me or, like, a huge faction. So if once he got done with me, then somebody else would come in and, it was always one of those deals. But my matches with him were some of my favorite matches that I had out in North Dakota, and we wrestled in numerous towns in North Dakota. We had fun matches out there. Our best matches came at Minot, I would really think so. And I've always kind of kept in touch with them. We haven't crossed paths a lot because I haven't been out to North Dakota since I think it's been almost 2 years now since the last time I've been out there. But we used to cross paths quite frequently, and I've always really enjoyed, wrestling with him. And like I said, one of the strongest guys I've ever been in the ring with. But yeah. For where he came from to where he got to, I mean, he has no – for how good he is, he has no reasoning for that because there wasn't really the training there for him. He went out and found it. But he – I will say this, if I don't have to take up the black hammer anymore, I'm probably lucky. That move definitely is – well, he's laid that in on me a few times.
I can believe that for sure. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has a few questions for you, so I'm going to pass things over to him for a bit.
Sure.
Well, hi, Darren. Welcome back. It's been a long time. Yes.
It's good to be back.
Well, Darren, you were telling Sign Guy about some of your EMT experiences. Did you know that David Lee Roth of Van Halen is a certified EMT?
You know, it's funny you say that because I feel like I feel like I'm lying, but I want to say I did because I thought it was like a weird fact that like popped up on a pop-up video a long time ago. And I feel like
yes.
It just stuck with me. So like you saying that, I was like, wait a second, I think I know that. But maybe I thought somebody else was an EMT, but it would make sense if I thought it was David Lee Roth. And he was indeed an EMT, which is hilarious.
I don't know if it's hilarious. I mean, the guy is pretty smart. He wrote a lot of Van Halen songs.
I mean,
yes.
I just wouldn't – my thought is – with him, I always found him very entertaining to listen to. I just think you would not expect such an awesome rocker to be an EMT, which is good because, like, if anything got crazy on the road or backstage, you know who you could go to for help.
That's true, yes, especially with neck injuries.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Which are so common in wrestling.
Well, Darren, I saw your YouTube video, Snapped Chat with Darren Corbin. I voted now, Leave Me Alone, that video. I saw where it was episode number 147. Do you do a Snapchat video episode every Saturday?
So it's normally a weekly thing. Every Sunday is normally where I try and get them rolling. And it used to be, you know, like originally my idea for when I started it to where it goes now is a little different. And like it was funny because I kind of wanted it to be a little bit more, I don't know if serious is the word or if it's however you want to look at it, but I wanted it to be like kind of a film noir style setting. And I wanted it to be like a kind of like a inner conflict resolution story. But one thing I think I always do well is I think I do comedy really well. And as you mentioned, I'm up to 147 episodes. I've been doing it for almost 3 years, which is crazy. I've definitely missed a couple weeks. I've missed a few weekends. And I would say you could count them on one hand, the ones I've missed. And they're not too – I mean, there's always been a reason or a factor. But what ended up happening is I started doing them, and then I realized I could coincide with my weekly, like, what's going on with my wrestling shows and my wrestling events. And so I started incorporating that and always having something to discuss. So it was something new. Now, I haven't had a match since March 7th. So it's, I mean, like, what, 8 months here that I haven't had a match? And so for the past 8 months, I've been trying to figure out creative ideas to kind of do. And so as you notice this one, the last one was, it's just kind of, they're all kind of pop culture references that are going on right now or kind of a satire about the climate that is going on. And so this one is the voting thing. Like, I don't know how many messages I would get a day. It felt like a dozen from numbers I didn't know asking me if you had signed up to vote, registered to vote, as I have my ballot, as I have everything set. And just how obnoxious it was getting for, like, that week, especially leading up to it. So it was kind of funny. I was sitting I didn't have an idea for it until I think it was Friday. And I was driving in my car, and in, like, a half-hour drive, I got, like, five messages and a call about voting. And I was just like, all right, I got my topic for Snapchat this week. So, yeah, so a new episode will come out on Sunday, and so I try and keep them it's just something I really, video editing and doing that has kind of eased the creative process in my mind, and I really enjoy making videos, and it's been kind of a challenge, but it keeps my mind busy. Without wrestling, this has been kind of what I've been doing, and it's been fun.
Myself. Yeah. All right, great. Yeah, as long as, you know, somebody gets it back.
That's weird. Okay,
great.
No
Thank
problem.
You.
I'll take care of it.
And you are?
Daniel Brown.
Daniel Brown.
Yes.
Okay. Chris. All right, thank you very much.
I will take care of that. Thanks.
Thank you.
Still
okay,
there?
I think we lost QT there. But
okay.
Darren, one of the things that is on a bucket list for a lot of wrestlers is wrestling in all 50 states. One of the harder ones to get for a lot of people is Alaska, but Alaska has, in the last few years, opened up. They're getting more and more people traveling to their state to wrestle. Is wrestling up in Alaska something that has ever crossed your mind?
Oh, yeah. Actually, ever since I saw, like, one of the first flyers for a show up there, because a couple of the guys from the Black and the Brave Academy that come up to Minnesota every now and then, I believe it's Russman is from that area, so I'll see the flyer that's there. And if you're a promoter listening to this, I'll be honest, if I see a flyer for you or you're in a state I haven't wrestled for yet, I normally reach out. And especially if I look at shows and I see you got a show on a date that I'm open, I reach out, because the worst you can say to me is no. Most of the time it's read no reply, which is, I'm just like, just tell me no at this point. But I'm kind of in that same boat. I love, one of the things that I've really missed and I love about wrestling is the travel. And I love wrestling in new states. And, like, the thing is like, I keep track, and I want to cross off, you know, new states all the time. I want to get new states and do this, wrestle in new states. And right before everything closed down, I was able to get Virginia off my list. And so if I could do Alaska, that would be awesome. If I could do Hawaii, that would be great. I think I have 24 states or something like that still to go. But I would love to wrestle in all 50 states. Because I just like traveling. I like doing that. And wrestling is like one of the best ways to get out there and like see everything. So it's super fun. That's one of my favorite things to do is travel and then like see food sites and landmarks if I can, because normally you're not there long. But I really, really enjoy it. So it's, I think Alaska would definitely be on my list.
All right. QT, are you back?
Yes, I am. My boss showed up. Yes. Well, Darren, we covered episode 147. Are there any truths to the rumors that you are in talks with Sign Guy to do a trial run of combining an episode of the Sign of the Times with Snapchat to be called Snap Times? Are there any truth to those rumors?
Well, you know, like everything right now, it's hard to get the finalized deals on it. So right now it's in the pre-production stage, or at least the planning stage of that. And obviously, as you know, my consultant can be very stubborn, as well as the network execs that put that together. But I'm going to be honest with you, my consultant, he's good at what he does. He doesn't seem that way. He seems aloof a lot of times. But he really comes through in the end. But he's very eccentric when it comes to putting deals. So while the option is there, it might still be a little bit for the planning stage, just because trying to get everybody on board, and he's kind of a prima donna. That's the other thing too, you know, like all the stuff that he wants in his rider and, you know, what you need to provide for him and all that stuff. Because I'm pretty easygoing. He's the one you got to deal with. But, you know, we've been pretty happy that at least Snapchat has been presented in such a format to do collaborations. And I know he's flattered by that, but he's also very, you know, again, I think he worries that somebody's out to get him. He's very paranoid at times. So I try and convince him, no, you'll always be fine. You'll always be there. Don't worry about it. But, you know how it is. A lot of times people are worried about losing their spot. I think that's what he worries about.
So, okay, well, I hope that over these holiday seasons you could get together with Sign Guy somehow and do a remote Sign of the Times Snapped. Yes, you could combine your two shows. That would be great.
Well, it'd be a very interesting crossover, but I think, like I said, it all depends. What exactly – getting the consultant on board, if we can make that work. He's that missing puzzle piece, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. Now, speaking of the sign of the times, I'm sure you're well aware that you can buy a lot of Casey Carlisle merchandise for all your gift-giving needs. Have you yourself, Darren, purchased any Casey Carlisle photos for Hanukkah?
I have not. But, you know, Casey and I, we're friends. We're great friends. You probably saw our chemistry that we had on the West Coast. And I haven't purchased anything yet, but we've been trying to work with marketing to get it out there for, you know, for her. And she's got such awesome merchandise, and that's the biggest thing. So we just try and spread the word. That's the biggest element. Now, the fun part is not just, and it's not just for the holidays. You could just give them as random gifts all year round. And that's the other thing too. So for some of you, if you're thinking of a great gift for, you know, like Arbor Day, that's always a good one to have, or even, you know, like Flag Day is a good one, or, you know, April Fool's, where you pretend to give one of her gifts, but then you actually give a different one. That's always good. They're great for birthdays and Mother's Day and Father's Day. So there's great merchandise for every occasion. So right now I just want to, you know, kind of plug that for her to kind of help out on that one, because it doesn't have to be a holiday even. It can just be, oh, congratulations, it was a beautiful day outside, here's some Casey merchandise.
Oh, well said, well said. Okay, which photograph do you like better? The one where she has posing just after she graduated from Hot Nurse University, or the pillow one?
Oh, you know, yeah, I was worried that you were going to do, I was worried you were going to do this to me. I was worried that you were going to make me choose. And see, that's the hardest thing, because I've always tried to be, you know, like, it's hard. You know, it's like if I had kids and I had to pick between which one I would save in case I could only choose one. And that's the hardest part about it. And you know, my mood today, I would say the pillow would be the best one. But then again, you know, on some days you're just like, well, you know, the graduation would be the best. But then it's like, why do I have to choose at all? You know, like, I could just be a good friend and get both, which is what I encourage everybody to do. So it's really hard, because there's, you know, so many factors that go into it. And when it's your friend, you're just like, I got to support you no matter what. But like right now I would say I would go pillow, but like tomorrow it could be the, you know, graduation. It's so tough. But I'll tell you what, I'm a little biased, because I'm a person who loves championships. So her photos and anything that she has with all her championships, that's the winner for me. That's the winner for me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well said. Okay. Well, Darren, has your wife participated in any Snapchat chat videos? And if so, would you say that she lends more of a Mike D of the Beastie Boys presence, or Ad Rock of the Beastie Boys on camera? Which presence?
Oh, God. Well, see, that's one hard. And to answer the first part of that, she's only appeared in one episode of Snapchat. It was actually the Snapchat episode right before we got married. It was actually the episode right before we got married. And it was to let my consultant know that he wasn't invited to the wedding, because he was going to be – it would have been a nightmare. And it's not that I didn't want him there. It was just literally like an issue of it was just a preventive measure, because he gets a little crazy. And my wife and I talked it over a lot, and we discussed it, and she was right. You know, it was for the better. He ended up trying to one-up me, though, and I don't know if you saw it, but, like, he ended up getting married the day before me. Like, he went out on a whim as a way to, like, upstage me, and he went and got married himself. I don't know what marriage he's on right now. But, you know, as far as my wife goes, a lot of times, like, yes, she's appeared in the video, but we, a lot of times, Snapchat and what I do, I think she probably is just get sick of my crazy antics a lot with wrestling. So I think staying separate or like, I mean, it was a fun episode to do, but we haven't really collaborated too much. So I don't really know, but she's so unique and she's awesome and she's great. And so to say which personality she kind of blends to, I think she's just so, you know, like all I can picture is how she's my lovely wife. So it's hard for me to pick. I think maybe a combination of the two actually would be it, because I think she engulfs both characters a little bit, both personalities. So I think that would be kind of my answer to that. But yeah, no, she's awesome. She's wonderful.
Okay. All right. A combination of Mike D and Ad Rock. Very good.
I think that seems fair, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'd say so. Not exactly an MCA Beastie Boy. Not an MCA. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mike D, Ad Rock. Okay. Well, Darren, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Jake Manning's Fireside Chat, Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin yourself, a preview. One of the first things that caught my eye was that Eric Cannon had half a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer in front of him while you were drinking coffee. Are you not a fan of Pabst Blue Ribbon? That's my question.
I actually don't drink at all. I am technically, I guess, qualified as straight edge. I don't smoke. I don't drink. Normally, my drink of choice, a lot of times, like I rarely now do I even have like pop or soda or whatever part of the region you're listening to, whatever you call it. I've kind of tried to give that up too. I'm kind of like, I get made fun of by my wife for this. She's always like, either you're a kid or you're super old, because either I like Capri Sun or I like Arnold Palmer, the iced tea lemonade mixture. And I do a lot of mixes like that. And, but yeah, I don't drink. So I'm not a fan, really of alcohol. Cannon probably drinks enough for both of us. So that's totally fine. But we were actually at a show for Revolver in Des Moines, and we did the show, and Jake Manning is normally a jack of all trades and one of the hardest working guys I know. So he was doing stuff on the show, getting that all wrapped up. And then we went to do Fireside Chat back at the hotel, but after, you know, getting set up and taking care of everything. And, you know, with wrestling events, you're on the road, you travel, you do the show, you wrap up, you take care of this, you go do your thing, blah, blah, blah. And it was late. And like, we had just ate a little bit. But I've only started to kind of get this way. And when it comes to like coffee, I'm not really a big like coffee drinker. I like sweet stuff. Like if I do anything, it's like an iced coffee that's like very chocolatey or like caramely, or I think it's like a campfire mocha is what I generally do, or something like that. I'm not a straight like coffee guy. And the other reason is because I'm not. When I have something, it really jolts and keeps me awake. So we did this Fireside Chat, and I wanted to be up and having a good time for it. So I, you know, there's nothing worse than you're trying to be entertaining and you're drifting. And the Fireside Chat is actually pretty long, and I was kind of worried about it, that people would be turned away from it just because of that. And we just were having so much fun just talking about old stories. And you can kind of tell at the end we're kind of like, because I think by the end of the filming of it, it's like 2:30 a.m. And even when we were done there, Jake and I stayed and like talked till, I don't know, I think it was like 5:30 or 6 or something like that in the morning. And those are some of the moments that I really love on wrestling. But we got to share so many cool stories. But the coffee was just to kind of keep me up. And at the kind of from like the end of last year, whenever we were doing late road trips and having to go from the next place, and if we were on the road, I would always try and grab like a quick trip or, you know, like a gas station, like coffee to keep myself awake. And it was kind of funny. Like when I was younger, like early 20s, I would never do that. But I was also able to stay up a lot longer. Now I kind of enjoy it. Like it will keep me up. I'll be awake. I'll be driving. I'm kind of in my, it's relaxing for me. And only when I get like able to lay down or stop is when, you know, finally when I get to lay down in a bed, that's when the coffee seems to kick in, and that's when it keeps me awake. So it's like And then I feel like, oh, this is kind of a backfire on me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, where did Eric Cannon pick up this half case? Was it from the 7-Eleven corner store by his house in the semi-rough part of town? And did you go with him to watch his back? That's my question.
I got to be honest with you. Normally, I don't watch Cannon's back a lot because normally I'm the one who's waiting to hit him from behind. So normally it's me. You know, we're just two totally different people. And we have this, like, you know, I mentioned it earlier on having, like, a feud with Mr. Incredible. Well, Cannon and I, our feud goes way, way back. And while we can be professional and cordial, you know, anytime we get in the ring, anytime we're around each other, there's always that dynamic of one-upsmanship. So, you know, did I watch out for him? No, not on that one. I always say, I'm like, you're a big boy. You can go handle yourself, man. You can go do that. And plus, I got other stuff to do. I can't be babysitting. So, you know, no one's paying me to do babysitting stuff. So I let him go on his own, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Well, Eric also wore a Mick Foley shirt. He had a Mick Foley shirt on. And above Mick's picture were the words, "Wanted, dead." I did not see the words "or alive." Can I assume that subliminally Eric was trying to get across that he is a Bon Jovi fan? Is he? That's what I'm trying to ask.
You know, I would honestly say I don't believe that Eric Cannon, knowing the music that he listens to, being an anarchist, I don't think that he would be considered a Bon Jovi fan unless Great Sasuke is singing Bon Jovi in Philly doing karaoke after a wrestling show. That's the one time when I would say he would be a Bon Jovi fan.
Oh, okay. Now that clears that up. Very good. Okay. All right. Well, Darren, you made your point on coffee pretty clear. When you drink it, and when you go to bed, you feel the coffee and all that. Would you say over the years that you have been drinking coffee, can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your four favorite creamers are? Can you rank, say if you had these creamers, can you rank them from 1 to 4? French vanilla, hazelnut, southern butter pecan, or white chocolate macadamia?
The funny thing is, it's almost in that exact same order, but you would just have to flip the last two, and then you pretty much got it.
Well, okay, split southern butter pecan and white chocolate macadamia. Okay, split those up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Darren, at the 2-minute and 4-second mark of your fireside chat video, Eric Cannon told the listeners that Jim Cornette loved high spots, deathmatch wrestling, and spot monkeys. For our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners that might not be familiar with these terms, can you explain them? First with high spots.
Well, now, first of all, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to some of your listeners on this one. I feel like they would pretty much be in the know on some of this, but let me, just in case you got some new first-timers, let me fill it out. High spots would be like the big moments of the match, like big things that happen, like the big epic build, the explosion of the movie, the big fight scene. It's the big moment, I think, is the best way to describe a high spot.
Oh, okay. How about deathmatch wrestling?
So deathmatch wrestling is when you incorporate certain objects and weapons into your match that are intended to maim, hurt, or injure your opponent. I, myself, while I'm not one to be a deathmatch wrestler, I very much enjoy watching deathmatch wrestling, and I think a lot of people are shocked by that. But I really enjoy watching deathmatch wrestling, and I think there's a lot of guys out there right now that do deathmatch wrestling very well. But that's what it is. It's a lot of the barbed wire, the tacks, the glass, all that stuff. Me, on the other hand, it's not for me. It's But the guys who do it, man, all the respect.
Okay. All right. And the last one, spot monkeys.
So normally those are the ones that do just like a lot of stuff, you know, like a lot of things, crazy moves, this, that, and the other thing. Like you're just watching them do a bunch of like a routine, I guess is what they call it. Well, see, and the funny thing about that is I will be probably the last person to ever be accused of being a spot monkey because it's just not my style. It never has been. Never has been the way that I do things. Honestly, I don't really have a lot of sweet spots either, you know? So, like, I think the combination of the two. But I was always one where I just kind of always get an idea from what the crowd is doing and what the crowd wants. And that kind of leads me to what I do. But, yeah, like, a lot of the crazy stuff that you see, like, where it looks almost like, wow, this looks like a sequence in a movie, I think would be the best way to describe it.
Okay. All right. I hope our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans were listening to that definition. I think they would. They are. Okay. Well, Darren, at the 2 minute and 45 second mark of the video, Eric says that there is a multi-million dollar company that pays me to have a good time, and he was holding in his left hand a can of Pabst Blue Ribbon. My question is, if Eric could travel back in time and challenge Andre the Giant to a Pabst Blue Ribbon 16-ounce can challenge, what would be the final score of this drinking contest? I myself am going to guess Andre 92 and Eric 5.5.
Yeah, well, here's the best part about it. While, you know, like, it's hard to predict the exact number that would be consumed. I've seen Cannon put away quite a few. Obviously, Andre is the thing of legend, what he can put away. My favorite part would be watching the aftermath of Cannon obliterated and Andre just keeps going. Because I don't know what would happen if – there's no way that Cannon's beating Andre. There's no way that that's happening. I'm going to go actually – I'm going to say 100 for Andre, and I'll give Cannon the doubt. I'll give him a tenth of that. I'll say he'll get 10 because he's going to try and keep up. But I guess it all depends if it's the first one to pass out or first one to throw up or whatever it is. But that would be my outcome, 10 or 100 at least to 10.
Wow. All right. Now, keeping in mind that's 10, 16 ounces for Eric, that'd be 10, no, what is that, 16 ounces is 1 pound. Okay. That's the 10, 160 ounces. Wow.
Technically, I think Cannon's made up mostly PBR anyway, so I think he has at least that in his system at all times.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. All right. Well, Darren, I also saw your YouTube video entitled Levi Cruz versus Darren Corbin, Pro Wrestling Battleground, Rice Street Rumble, and you came out of the back to the song Du Hast by industrial metal band Rammstein. Well, Darren, did you know that Rammstein formed in Berlin in 1994 and Till Lindemann is their lead singer and their keyboard player is named Christian Flake Lorenz? And Christian Flake Lorenz was a member of an East German punk band called Feeling B before Rammstein.
I learned something today, and I'm going to let you know that right now. I just learned that today. I was today's years old when I learned about that.
Yeah, yes, their keyboard player lived in East Germany, and when the wall came down, he went to the West.
Hmm.
Yes.
That is...
I
Now, when we talk about the wall in Berlin, we're not talking about Alex Wright and AWOL, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Oh, okay. I myself didn't know that East Berlin had punk bands back in the late 80s. I did not know that. Me neither. Okay. Well, Darren, in this match with Levi Cruz, the announcer said that you were from the Dude Ranch. My question is, did the wrestler Dude Love ever visit Dude Ranch?
No, the Dude Ranch is generally a very exclusive area. I don't really like to open it up to a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people inquire where it's at. You know, like a lot of times, like, where is the Dude Ranch? Do you have any animals on the Dude Ranch? And so on and so forth. And, you know, I just don't want commoners coming in to the Dude Ranch. I could tell you all the magical stuff that goes on there. I could tell you all the great stuff that goes on there. But, you know, honestly, it's not as Neverland Ranch style. It's not quite Paisley Park public as it is. It's just my own little shred of paradise. And while Dude Love would probably love to come to the ranch, you know, it's just something that I didn't feel comfortable opening it up to the public. It's my little getaway, my place to recharge after matches.
Wow, Dude Ranch. Okay, Dude Ranch. Very good. Okay. Well, Darren, it did not take long before Levi Cruz went up to the top turnbuckle, and in the words of one of the match commentators, he executed a spinny, zippy-zooey arm drag. I saw this, and he did two full spins in the air before he landed a 720-degree twist before he landed on the canvas and caught your arm. Was this one of the first times you had a spinny, zippy-zooey, 720-degree arm drag performed successfully? That's my question.
Well, the answer is yes. You know, a lot of times, like, it's all in the rotations, and it's very hard to, as you can imagine, with so many twists. I used to be a diver in high school, so I know all about twists and flips and stuff like that. But when you have that many rotations and that many revolutions, it's very hard to scout, and it's very hard to not let somebody be able to be successful in that and get your arm, because you're trying to figure out what's going on. And all of a sudden, boom, here they come down right on you, you know, like they catch you. You know, I've dealt with like 540 zippity doo-dah twist McDudes. I've dealt with like 630s, 630 Ziploc lighter twisted metal McFlippies, but not anything with the 720. That was definitely different. And that's why it was so effective, you know. I've been wrestling a long time, and I have never seen anything like that. So kudos to that kid for pulling it off.
Wow. All right. Okay. He did a very good job at that. Now, you said you dove in high school. Was one of your inspirations watching film of Rodney Dangerfield when he hit a high dive in the movie Back to School? Do you remember Rodney Dangerfield on the diving board?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't get enough respect for all the stuff that he did.
Yes. That was one of my favorite parts, besides Sam Kennison, the history professor, Mr. Turgeson. Those two were my favorite scenes. Yes.
Turgeson. Yeah, I think I was at the time watching it. You know, it wasn't ever my intention to be a diver, like a swim team diver in high school. I was kind of always, like, at first getting into it, I always thought you had to – I grew up in a small town, so football was big, so I thought you had to play football. And I liked football, but I didn't like playing football. I liked basketball, but I was too short. I wasn't, like, the best shot, so I really didn't get to play as much compared to the rest of our team. Really enjoyed baseball, but our baseball team was – pretty big and had a big roster and eventually took the fun out of it. So I ended up finding diving by just messing around one time during a school, it was like a Halloween party is what it was. I was just messing around on the diving board, and one of the teachers was like, you should go out for the diving team, which I didn't know we had. So I was like, oh, that sounds cool. That sounds like something we should try. And, you know, again, at that time, I was kind of like, oh, well, I remember Rodney Dangerfield did that. And he was, you know, like, I never thought of that being something that I could do, but I could really live on his legacy. So it kind of just transferred naturally, but, you know, there was a disconnect from the time that I watched him do it to the time that I actually did it. Because I got into it late. I was a sophomore when I went out for the team. But, you know, like, you always kind of remember those moments, and it kind of sticks with you. It's like, you know, I like golf a lot, and that's where, you know, Caddyshack, that was always a big effect for me. But I'm not the best golfer either. You know, mini golfing is a different story, but regular golfing, not so much.
Oh, okay. All right, golfing. Okay. Well, at the 7:32 mark of that match with Levi, one announcer said that you had Levi in a one-leg Boston crab, while the other was screaming that you had him in a Canadian maple leaf. Which one do you think he really had on you, the one-leg Boston crab?
Yeah, the Canadian maple leaf, that there's a little bit more torque involved on that one, and there's a little bit more setup involved. I really, if I remember correctly, I just grabbed him. I had power bombed him, and then he tried to kick out, and I grabbed the leg and sat down. Now, I'm always a big fan of the single leg Boston crab. Always been a big fan of it. You know, like, I think the lion tamer Walls of Jericho put the Boston crab back on the map. But for me, the single leg Boston crab doesn't get enough attention. And I always used to give all my creator wrestlers on the N64 games, I always used to love that as their move. But the Canadian maple leaf takes a little bit more finesse. I'm more of a rough and tumble physical wrestler. So the single leg Boston crab was easier for me to apply in that setting. And while people will argue over what exactly it was, it's definitely more of a single leg Boston crab.
Okay. For all our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners, I'd recommend that you look at this match with Levi on YouTube and listen to the announcer scream that the Canadian maple leaf was being applied. Yes, he's quite animate. Canadian maple leaf, yes. But have you ever seen Sign Guy himself in a Canadian maple leaf shirt?
You know, I'm trying to think. I don't know if I have. I mean, I'm trying to – let me go through my mental database of shirts I've seen him in, and I'm trying to think if it would have been – I mean, I feel like I've seen him – I think he's had a shirt with, like, a pine tree on it before, or maybe a like, coniferous fir or something along those. I think he's got that palm tree shirt. But I don't think I've ever seen the maple leaf one. Maybe it didn't sync up when I was out that way. But, you know, I've seen other – I just assumed he was a big tree enthusiast. So this just kind of backs up my theory.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe after the show, Sign Guy could send you a photo of him in a Canadian maple leaf shirt or also his mouse-eating pizza sweatshirt. Maybe he could send you both.
That's a fashion statement right there.
It is a fashion statement. Yes. All right. Well, Darren, it was good welcoming you back to the show. And at this time, I'm transferring it back over to Sign Guy.
All righty. Thanks for, it's been. I'm enjoying this.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Darren, we have a game we like to play on the show. I think you're a perfect candidate for this. We call it Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I'll ask you a series of two options, and the one that is your own personal preference is the answer. There's no right or wrongs. Are you prepared for a round of Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
Let's do it.
Arm drag or hip toss?
Hip toss.
Dog collar match or I quit match?
Dog collar.
Boots or shoes and kick pads?
Boots.
Spinach or green beans?
Green beans.
Log cabin or houseboat?
Ooh, I like log cabin.
B. Arthur or Rue McClanahan?
B. Arthur.
Baron Corbin or Corbin Burnson?
Baron Corbin, gotta love my bro.
Monkey flip or bear hug?
Monkey flip.
And the last one, Ox Baker or Bulldog Bob Brown?
Ox Baker.
All right, well, we have one last game that we like to play on here. I believe you've done this before. We call it word association. I'll throw out the names of some people that you most likely have come into contact with in your career. First word or two that pops to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for some word association?
I think so. I remember this from last time. I remember there were some good ones.
All right, here we go. Let's give it a shot. Casey Carlisle.
Friend.
Eddie Kingston.
Paula.
The Grappler.
Ooh, Pinky and Hoot.
Spicy McHaggis.
Pity City.
Mr. Incredible.
I'm trying to think out what answer I want to give you guys on this one. But I was going to say, Sugar Smacks. He'll know. What I mean.
Sean Devari.
Sean Devari. I was expecting Ari on this one, but Sean. Koshiro.
Matt Nix.
Burritos. He'll know that story.
Mick Karch.
Ooh, The Voice.
Pat Kelly.
Oh, mentor. Love Pat.
Ethan HD.
Shrimp Dicking. He'll know.
Dale Patricks.
Oh, what's the word? Confidant.
Brian Hebner.
Oh, God. Every time you say these, I'm always like, I love that guy, man. I love that guy. That's what I'm always thinking. But I'm just gonna go with it. I'm gonna be like, I always think Baby Man because it's Baby Hebner. That's.
The last one, Kelly Klein.
Kelly Klein? I'm not, talent.
All right, that concludes word association. And we have just a few minutes left in the show today, and I want to give that to you. If there's anything you want to say, anything you want to plug and promote, social media, appearances, merchandise, the Patreon, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
Sure. As you guys mentioned on the show, one thing that I'm really proud of is Snapchat. That's kind of like my flagship show of my YouTube channel, and it's kind of keeping me like sane in this whole crazy world right now with everything that we're doing. So I really enjoy that. So if you can check out my YouTube channel, you'll see that. I'm also, obviously, I feel like a lot of people do have Patreons or so on and so forth, but I do exclusive content on there. I do exclusive deals, merchandise deals, and then I do gift giveaways on that. But every tier has a bonus, and I have 8 tiers on that one. But Patreon's one of my favorites that I like to plug. So my YouTube channel is just Darren Corbin TV, patreon.com, Darren Corbin. I have a Teespring store. If you just search Darren Corbin, you can find that. I have all sorts of old designs, new designs, pillows, throw blankets, all sorts of stuff on there that you can find. But obviously my store, I have pro wrestling tees. I have those. Nothing in the loop of appearances right now. But if you're looking to support me and like what I do and want to see more of it, I would suggest jumping on to my YouTube and then my Patreon to see more.
Well, Darren Corbin, as usual, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. I look forward to seeing this week's Snapchat when it pops up on the YouTubes, and hopefully our paths will cross again sometime in the not-so-distant future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Fans, definitely, if you're not familiar with Darren Corbin, rectify that. Tons of content out there on the YouTubes. Hugely entertaining sports entertainer. I think you will like him a lot. So give him a watch, support what he does, grab some merchandise, go to a show when that is a thing again. And as we wrap things up, we want to send our best wishes out to Madman Pondo, who lost his granddaughter yesterday. We want to send our thoughts and well wishes to him, and also to Cousin Cooter, who lost his mother yesterday. Definitely we want to send our thoughts and condolences to both of those former guests of ours, guys I have worked with personally. So best wishes to them. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. We have Joseph Schwartz back on the show. He's going to be talking Flophouse Wrestling. If you're unfamiliar with that, definitely tune in so you can get familiarized and get in on the loop to perhaps score one of those coveted invitations to see Flophouse Wrestling. Everybody stay safe out there. If you got some pro wrestling near you and you feel safe enough to do so, go support it. And we'll be back with you Sunday.